This week's episode of the Let Me Be Frank podcast is brought to you by Satchel. Do you like podcasts? Of course you do. You're listening to ours. Have you ever wondered which podcasts are created in your local area? Then you should check out the Satchel podcast player, now available for both iPhone and Android. Satchel is the world's first podcast player that allows you to discover both locally sourced and locally focused podcasts right in your hometown. Listen local and download the player at satchelplayer.com. In the iPhone App Store and the Android App Store.
So this is like the podcasting version of Farm to Plate, essentially?
Essentially, yeah. We are locally grown, locally talented, talk about local topics. And welcome back. It is episode number 23 on November 23rd. Wild. In and of itself, that's wild. We did not plan this, believe it or not. And John is back.
All I can say is I can't even describe how good it feels to be back. And what a time to be alive if you're a Fenwick Fryer.
Don't overstep your bounds here, first of all, John. Yeah. We've held it down for a few weeks, so.
No, I have to say, I've been more than impressed with the podcast as I've been on sabbatical out in beautiful Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, how's that been?
You know, it's been busy. It's been great. I was fortunate enough to be there for the World Series. Almost got tickets to a game. Unfortunately, I'm not quite high enough on the corporate totem pole to secure a spot, but it's been a blast, and I'm looking forward to being back here with you guys on this beautiful Tuesday evening.
Absolutely. Let's jump right into it. Pete is also here, in case you guys were wondering. Mm-hmm. That was the third voice.
I don't matter.
Shocker. No. Let's jump right into it. News that, Let Me Be Frank, broke. We were the first people to get it out there.
We broke what is now national news.
So, front page of Yahoo, from number one story on several local news outlets. It's all over the place.
And right, we're literally not kidding. Brian got an email from a CBS anchor.
We were accredited by CBS. So just a pat on the back for all of us, guys. Great job. Great job as a team. Not just us three. Obviously, the whole staff of writers really did a great work.
Brick by brick,
we're going to build the empire. But this is the news that we broke. Fenwick, Plainfield North, if you're living under a rock or unaware of the situation, I'll break it down for you real quick. Fenwick had the lead 10-7. Clock was ticking with about 4 seconds left. Snapped the ball. Keller threw it as high and far as he could. Clock expired before the ball hit the ground. As is correct, it was called an intentional grounding. Mm-hmm. The following was incorrect. They gave Plainfield North an untimed down at the Fenwick 5. Plainfield North kicked the field goal to send it to overtime. And in overtime, Plainfield North scored and got the two-point conversion to win 18-17 and move on to the state finals. However,
it doesn't end there.
It does not end there. As we said, we broke the news that it was incorrect. It was the incorrect call, and we came out ahead of the IHSA to say so. The IHSA then came out and said that it was, in fact, the incorrect call, and that they weren't going to overturn it. We then broke the news that Fenwick...
The big fish.
Yes. That Fenwick was ready to submit an appeal and that the IHSA invited them to. We also knew at that time that Fenwick would submit a legal... or they would bring about a lawsuit if the appeal was denied or not heard. The appeal was unheard by the IHSA on Monday morning. We also broke that. We didn't want to be... you know, the people out there that brought up the lawsuit. We said that legal ramifications were potentially looming because we didn't want to be concrete in that out of respect to our sources.
Journalistic integrity.
Yeah, believe it or not, we got it here. Big J's.
Big J journalism.
We'll get verified. One-
so the big thing in this situation is that the game should have ended at 10-7. Not only did the IHSA admit the officials got it wrong, they also admitted that Fenwick should have won the game. However, because of a bylaw that says the IHSA, or the calls made on the field are final, they will not overturn them. This happened in the Central Michigan-Oklahoma State game earlier this year, where Oklahoma State got called for an intentional grounding and Central Michigan was awarded an untimed down, excuse me, and won on a Hail Mary pass. According to our sources as well, we have learned that the IHSA, after this happened, had made it a huge point several times during their weekly meetings to say that this is what the situation is, and this is how you rule it. Obviously, it was miscalled on the field, and now the IHSA is essentially refusing to do anything about it. We're going to get everyone's take here on the situation, on what should happen. Fenwick is looking for a permanent injunction which would allow the IHSA to overturn the ruling. There is precedent in the state of Illinois as well as outside the state. In Mississippi in 2008, a playoff game had the exact same situation as this in Central Michigan, where a team had got called for an intentional grounding. It was an untimed down, and the other team scored a touchdown to win the game. In the case in Mississippi, the Mississippi, I'm not sure what they are, but the High School Sports Association there overturned it and reinstated the other team to play, and it was a playoff situation, so it was in the playoffs. In the IHSA in wrestling in 2009, I believe, there was a half-point victory in a wrestling match. After the match was over, it was realized that there was a calculation error and that the half point was given to the wrong team. The IHSA rules at that time say that all results are final unless the error is noticed within half an hour and brought up to either the state officials or the opposing team. Because this happened 5 hours later and it was overturned by the IHSA, this is what Fenwick is looking at as legal precedent to say that the IHSA, can overturn despite their bylaws. There was also a situation in a soccer game around the same time where the official made the incorrect call and the state overturned, it's a private nonprofit organization. So the IHSA overturned it again in that situation. We also want to mention that the Toronto Raptors have filed a formal appeal based on a game against the Sacramento Kings, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where DeMarcus Cousins actually tipped the ball. And the clock should have started 0.3 seconds earlier than it did. So technically, the game-winning shot by Terrence Ross wouldn't have counted. But that's not how the rule should be applied at all. And you could tell there about 15 seconds earlier, there was a play, a mismanagement of clock by the clock runner that they mistimed getting extra time after the free throw. So you could keep going back and forth about extra time or less time. What matters, right. What matters is that he got the shot off there, and it was just a human error. And I don't think they shouldn't have
peeled.
The Raptors should be winning this game.
Okay, so the big difference in these two situations is there's an absolute finish in the Fenwick one. You can't go back and say what if. It's final. You can go back and say that there is no ripple effect because of this. The game is over if they make the correct call on the field. Another thing we'll say I want to mention is that the general consensus around, I'll say, the area, social media, and in the media itself is that Plainfield North should be letting Fenwick play ahead. And this is where I'll kick it off to you guys. I'll start with John just because he hasn't been here in a while and he seems very eager to get after it. But if you're Plainfield North, do you let Fenwick play ahead of you?
Okay, this is not a cut and dry answer, obviously, and that's very obvious to us sitting here and everyone sitting at home, but...
Yeah, we're going to state our bias here. We're all Fenwick alum.
Yes, I am also currently wearing my Fenwick varsity baseball jersey, so keep that in mind. But I'm going to say this. The difference for me in this case is, granted, if the call is called correctly, the game's over, Fenwick's moving on to the state title. However, the way the call was made, there was a continuation of play that still allowed Fenwick an opportunity to win this game, right? Fenwick had the ball, scored, went for one, got it. They had an opportunity to stop Plainfield North on defense. And so I'm sort of taking the IHSA's side here, being the devil's advocate and saying that it's not like the call made was resulted in a finality, like you mentioned earlier. Fenwick still had an opportunity to win this game beyond the scope of the missed call. If I'm Plainfield North, I'm sitting there, and for those of you who actually saw the game, they had a touchdown that was called back just briefly before that, right? Which would have tied it up. It would have given them the lead. Somewhat of a, maybe a tough call to make. I'm sure Plainfield North coaching staff, fans, players thought it was a missed call. So from their perspective, I guarantee they view this as a makeup call. And so from their perspective, they certainly don't think they have to give it back. I am of the mindset that you play the game and whatever happens, happens. I understand
their miscalls. Human error is a part of
every single sport. And I know there have been attempts in every sport, whether it's replay in baseball or automatic strike zones or, you know, replay football, whatever it may be, to limit that. But no matter what you do, there will always be human error in sports. And sometimes you just don't get the breaks your way. And that, I know it's painful for Fenwick players. I know it's painful for the Fenwick community. But sometimes that's life. And we'll get into more of the response on social media and all that kind of stuff and what the lawsuit means and its ramifications, etc. But I'm not of the mindset that Plainfield North necessarily has to concede this win. Would it be a gesture of sportsmanship? Yes, absolutely. But I don't think that they're required to, nor do I think they should feel like they have to, because there was still an opportunity for Fenwick to win the game, and they didn't do it. You know, it wasn't like the call was final.
Just to clarify real quick, Plainfield North has come out and said that they will not concede the game.
Correct.
It would have to be overturned in the court to have Fenwick go on. Correct.
And I think John's right in saying that Plainfield should not concede to win, because at a certain point, it's kind of undermining the authority of the IHSA.
Correct.
That they need to respect, because the IHSA already said, this is in our bylaws. We will not, every rule is final. And for the IHSA, that's respecting the authority of the referees to go out and have confidence that their calls that they make will be backed up by the institution that hires them.
I get
so that's their
I get that argument, yeah.
But I'm still of the argument that Fenwick should do everything in its power to get a fair shot.
Absolutely.
At this. But on the other side, this is just the institutional level of my daddy will sue you.
We'll get into that in a second.
It's a bit of a private school, like we have like some influence, and we're going to flex that against the IHSA, which has been...
See, I see it more as the Fenwick community coming to back up a team that was absolutely wronged by a group of adults that refused to make the change. They have the ability and the power. This is not I agree with you both that Plainfield North should absolutely go on and play the state championship if the court does not rule in favor of Fenwick, because Like, I get morally it's the right thing to do, and in terms of sportsmanship, it's great, but you were given a gift. Mm-hmm. You decided to go for two. You could have lost the game anyways. You were playing essentially with house money, and you ended up winning. I don't agree with the fact that just because Fenwick had the chance to win the game in overtime, it should take away from their case or their ability to move on, because you go from the highest of highs to, oh my God, we have to play still. Mm-hmm. So there's a big, you know, to-do about that. But I don't think Plainfield North should have to give anything up. I do think that this is absolutely a problem, because the IHSA admits fault but just says there's nothing we're going to do about it, or refuses to do anything about it.
Is there reasoning, like, that it's in the law that this is the way we've always done it and we're going to continue to do it? Or is there, I'm having trouble figuring out. It's just like this is the law and we're not going to budge from it?
I think that's part of it, is that, you know, it's their own league historical precedent. But I think it's general sports league procedure. I mean, how many times do you see a sports league go back and change the outcome of a game? And you see this all the time. You know, we've seen it in the NFL the last few years, such as with, you know, the Dez Bryant catch, or lack thereof, you know, against Green Bay. Or, you know, we've seen it with, you know, rulings in golf where the PGA Tour has screwed up. This happened. It's not like this is the first time this has ever happened. In the question of should a league change the outcome of a game on a missed call,
I think it's more dangerous in professional leagues because they have the resources for people to look back at all these different camera angles and nitpick outcomes of every game. High school, they don't have those types of resources, and this is a clear cut example of they got it wrong. Let's write this wrong.
The biggest thing, though, is they admitted they were wrong and said that Fenwick should have won. That's the problem. And like, you can say it and you can apologize about it, but why not do something? You're going to stick to your bylaws, but you're breaking your bylaws is the reason we're in this situation. Because
Brian,
the referees did not call a game according to the bylaws of NFHS, whatever, the National Football High School rule book or whatever.
You raise an interesting point, and I think this is sort of the fine line where the IHSA screwed up here. I think it's okay for them to admit that the call is wrong. Yes. Where I think they screwed themselves over is in admitting that Fenwick should have won.
Yes.
If the IHSA just comes out and says, we screwed up the call, right? Then I think this situation is a little less foggy. But the fact that they came out and said that Fenwick should have won the game now opens up the possibility for them to be vulnerable to a lawsuit or further action. And I think that's where they shot themselves in the foot in terms of, you know, maintaining their own authority and respecting the bylaws that they have in place. I don't think this becomes nearly as big of an issue if they don't come out and say that Fenwick should have won that game.
Yeah, and I think them declaring that Fenwick should have won makes it much easier to win in a court of law.
Mm-hmm.
It's very more apparent to a judge, like, oh, like they should have won if you just easily corrected this call.
Yeah.
Then okay, I'll do it for you.
Plus, as we've said before, there's precedent to an extent, not in football, but in different sports in the state and then out of the state in football.
And then if they don't do it, while there is press in other sports, are you making special accommodations for football because of the magnitude of the how big these programs are in high school? Or making like special arrangements?
Right. So there's a lot going into this. I guess let's just get down to it. I'll start with you, Pete. Do you think the court will overturn it, and do you think they should?
I'm going to say they're not. This will be released
Tomorrow morning. Probably right around the time, if not a little after.
Mm-hmm. After the ruling. But I don't think they will. I think, as you guys have mentioned before, I think it does set a dangerous precedent because so many other leagues have the ability to look back at games and see and look at outcomes and see how they could change them. But I think on the other hand, I think they should.
Okay.
So I don't think they will, but I think they should.
You think they should? You are guessing the result will be no, that they'll strike it down. John, what do you think?
I don't think they will either. And while I think that there have been some points raised by the Fenwick community and on the Fenwick side for why they should, including what we just mentioned, the fact that the IHSA said that Fenwick should have won the game, I agree that this is such a dangerous precedent to set. Because if there's any questionable call at any point in the game now, there's going to be someone who takes advantage of this precedent, were it to be set, to say that, you know, that sort of call in a game changed the outcome, let's take it to court, right? I'll be honest, I think the fact that Fenwick has brought a lawsuit regarding this is a dangerous precedent in and of itself. And I think there are certain ramifications for it. I think we should get into that. But, Brian, I want to hear your take first on what you think the results are going to be.
I think it's going to get overturned. I really do. This morning, I was 100% saying there's no way in hell this is going to happen.
You kept saying it wasn't.
It's 2016. Donald Trump's president.
Well, anything can happen this year.
America's mourned a gorilla for 7 months.
The Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. The Indians blew a 3-1 lead. Donald Trump is president.
There's a lot that can happen. And I seriously right now think that with all the different things out there, the IHSA admitting its fault, the fact that it's an absolute result and not a what-if scenario. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this is a powerful team of lawyers that Fenwick has thrown out there, which is absurd because, I mean, the alumni base is ridiculous, but we won't get into that. I think it gets overturned, and I think it gets overturned in a good way because then the IHSA can go in and amend their bylaws to say the only time we'll hear an appeal is if the game and if the results of the penalty or the play at hand would have ended the game absolutely, which I think that's is fair. A good counterbalance for each side.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to say that no matter what happens, no one wins in this situation.
No, and then what?
Not only does the IHSA look foolish no matter what, they also get undermined if it gets overturned, but they also look moronic. I said foolish and moronic in the same sentence, but they look moronic because they could have ended this whole thing on their own. They could have just said, you know what, we messed up, we have to overturn the ruling, Fenwick gets the win. They could have done that to begin with and we wouldn't be in this mess.
Mm-hmm.
Also, East St. Louis, as unfair as it is to them, even though they've been caught and cheating multiple times doing different things that they shouldn't have, they have to prepare now for two different opponents to play in the state championship. And now one of these teams is going to go home feeling like they got cheated out of a chance to play for state.
Yeah, what does Plainfield North respond if it does get overturned?
Do they say file an appeal?
I don't think so. Do you have to respectfully say, okay, like, fine?
Yes, because at this point, you're playing, like I've said before, you're playing with house money. You shouldn't have been in the situation in the first place. You've got what I feel is a pretty strong ability for it to not go, or to go your way. And if it goes the other way, it's a groundbreaking case. So I think you've just got to accept it. The fact that, I mean, they could have ended it too, but I don't think they're going to do anything.
See, I think if they lose, I think they're filing an appeal. Or I think I don't know if they'll file a lawsuit. A countersuit, whatever it may be, they will take some action. They're not going down easy. I mean, this is a team that thinks they won. And, I mean, you can say to some level they did earn it.
Do you think a public school, though, has the means?
And now, Pete, this is where I wanted to get into this topic, because Fenwick bringing a lawsuit in this situation raises some hairy issues. And it becomes this question, and it's happened in different things before, you know, the private school, public school dynamic within IHSA. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors within the high school sports community both ways that both sides get favored one or another. I think a lot of times, at least from our side, we hear that, you know, private schools sometimes get screwed over in some of these things. Now, it's sort of the private school, I don't want to say side, but sort of private school area, maybe utilizing some resources that a public school can't necessarily, know. And to what degree is that fair? You know, let's say the situation is reversed, right? Let's say Plainfield North is the one that gets screwed out of the win. And let's say Fenwick, you know, is the one that takes home the victory in this case, right? Does Plainfield North necessarily, and again, I will say that this is a movement that has been led by Fenwick alumni, not necessarily, you know, the school itself, although certainly in collaboration with the school, that has brought this lawsuit about in this, you know, appeal process, right? To what degree is that fair that a private school may have some resources that a public school may not necessarily have? And to what degree should the court take that into consideration when considering this decision to set a precedent for the future?
So I'm going to use a phrase you used earlier describing the situation from the Fenwick side as to why it shouldn't get overturned and why Plainfield North shouldn't give up the win. Life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. It's just not. It's not. It doesn't work that way. You can't go in trying to level the playing field because certain people have advantages. You can try all you want, but it's just not going to work. Fenwick clearly has advantages monetarily and in terms of, you know, they have their own bar association.
Yeah, alumni reach.
Like, it's wild. So, obviously, I don't think Plainfield North can put up the money, the resources, or even the team of lawyers, because I think there's, what, six lawyers?
Six to eight
from Fenwick, and they have hundreds more that would be ready to, and willing to line up and get it.
I mean, it's like the same thing where a wealthy person can defend themselves against any type of lawsuit versus or someone without those financial resources. It's just at the will of the court.
And again, I don't want to say that Plainfield North doesn't have those resources.
Yeah.
I know nothing about...
Yes. We're just unaware.
I know nothing about the resources available to Plainfield North. I'm saying in general, any public school as a publicly funded institution.
We're speaking from the side of Fenwick alums that know the reach and the magnitude that that the alumni base has. What I'll also say is that the court absolutely should not bring that into consideration. It has nothing to do with what they're ruling about. They're ruling about whether this injunction has any background or precedent to overrule, proving that the IHSA can in fact change their call. It should have nothing to do with the circumstances regarding who's more or less fortunate than one another.
Okay, so you're saying rule it simply based on the facts at hand.
Yes. That's the legal system, or at least
we hope. Well, to some extent, but there's also the consideration of the precedents that are set by a decision.
Well, yeah,
and I think
right. Judges take that into account for everything.
Correct, and that's what I'm saying, is that this is one factor that I think plays into the precedent that gets set, is who actually has the... Because if you rule in favor of Fenwick in this case, then you're essentially opening a door, more or less, to schools down the road to do something similar, right?
Yeah.
But maybe not every school has the resources available to do so.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
It's a my
fair
question argument. Is to what degree does that play into the decision that gets made?
I don't think it should.
I don't think it should either.
Yeah, I don't know.
I understand you.
I'm not sure what the judge will rule. So.
Yeah. So please be sure to keep up. You can be updated from us via Twitter, Facebook, and the blog, letmebefrankblog.com, at letmebefrankblog on Twitter, and just, again, letmebefrankblog on Facebook. We'll move on to the NFL, where the Bears are just complete disarray, garbage.
Where another local team is losing for good reason.
Yes. So the Bears are arguably the worst-run team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They have now... what we believe lost is their quarterback, Jay Cutler, for the year. They lose Jarrell Freeman for 4 games because of steroids.
Kyle Long.
To multiple surgeries.
Leonard Floyd is in concussion protocol, I believe, or he got hurt at some point.
He is in the concussion protocol. I think he's questionable for this coming weekend.
And Jordan Howard's out, too.
Howard is out. He got hurt.
He was like the only bright spot this season. Yeah.
So the Bears have no one, basically, and someone else on the O-line got hurt. Sitton out?
Sitton has been hurt.
I miss him.
So
from Green Bay.
The Bears can't win games. They lose half of their starters, essentially, and have gotten busted twice for using steroids. Probably the two guys that have tried the hardest, you could say, on the team, because they use steroids to try and get better. But they can't They can't do anything right, which might be better because they need the draft picks.
Yeah.
However... do the Bears draft well? Let's look at Kevin White.
Well,
I don't know.
Do they take a quarterback?
They have to. You have to take a quarterback.
And I've seen multiple mock drafts now that have the Bears taking
either
DeShone Kizer or Mitch Trubisky. I don't know if either one of those quarterbacks
gets it done.
I don't think they do. And I've been a Notre Dame fan. I've grown up watching Kizer, you know, being on campus around him. Good quarterback, but is he your franchise leading quarterback? I don't think so at this point.
The physical traits are there. I don't know if he can do it. He would greatly benefit from being groomed by a veteran quarterback for a year or two.
Yes. I don't know if he fits the Bears system even. I don't know who fits the Bears system. I don't know what the Bears system is.
Yes, exactly the point. But there's a lot of young talent on this team, which is... good to see. I believe Alshon Jeffrey's time in Chicago is done. I believe Jay Cutler's time in Chicago is done. They have a very young defensive unit that, when is healthy, plays well. They've got a decent front four, three, whatever. They're running a 3-4 now. They've got some good linebackers when they're not on steroids or getting popped for steroids.
Huge fan of Willie Young.
Love Willie Young. Probably one of my favorite players. The O-line, when they're healthy, is good. They've got two Pro Bowlers with Long and Sitton. And they lost, don't forget, they lost their starting center this year, Hronis Grasu, and moved Cody Whitehair out of his natural position to center. Correct. So it's a makeshift offensive line that's playing right now. You've got two starting quality running backs with Jordan Howard and Langford.
And Kadeem
Carey's proved to be
don't forget my brother really Kadeem.
Good, a really Literally. Good back. Eddie Royal's been good in the receiving game. Kevin White has been terrible. Just awful.
He's never been on the field.
Zach Miller looks really good when he's healthy.
But is also injured.
He also got hurt too. Yeah, shout out Conlon. So, I mean, Conlon's going to talk about the Bears, but I think he's getting sick of it.
I'm worried for Conlon's health.
That's the most optimistic I've heard a Bears fan in weeks. How you describe that line.
I talked to myself.
It doesn't look half bad.
The Monday night game when they beat Minnesota, I talked the Bears into a playoff team. I talked myself into a situation where the Bears are a playoff team. That's how optimistic I can be.
The NFC is a shit. NFC North is a shitstorm right now that someone needs just to come out of.
The Detroit Lions.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too.
Speaking of the NFC North, let's go to your Packers. Aaron Rodgers hasn't talked to his family in 2 years, and the defense has given up a lot of points in back-to-back weeks. 42 this week. To the Redskins. I picked the over, by the way. Let me just quickly plug my NFL picks. I'm 35-11 on the year, and if you like betting on the NFL, come read my
this
stuff
is free
on the blog.
Money.
If you like money,
every
read
Wednesday.
Brian's picks.
Every Wednesday, I put them up. Now, Pete, let's hear what you have to say about your pack.
Not much at all. I mean, Aaron played well in spite of the offense giving up a boatload of points to the R-words.
Yeah.
So I mean, losing to Kirk Cousins and seeing him celebrate that just pisses me off.
You like that?
You like that, tall guy.
No, I don't. But
you don't like that.
God. Dan Snyder dancing by himself in the owner's suite was hysterical.
Electric.
And it made me feel a little bit better about how badly we were playing. But, yeah, this season is just hopeless, and I hope McCarthy loses his job.
I'll take him on
the
Bears.
I hope the thousands of owners gather up into Lambeau and decide just to cut his ass.
I want to see Ron Rivera and Mike McCarthy get fired and then brought on to be Bears coordinators,
so
making
Brian,
just a super team of coaches.
Brian, you bring up the Bears coaching staff. How much of this year, and I'll even say last year, falls on John Fox's shoulders? How much of it is Fox's responsibility? John Fox, mind you, looks incredibly similar
handsome
to our very own contributor, Brian Fox's father,
of
Chris
the B. Fox and B. Frank show.
So we are convinced that Brian Fox has some genetic background coming from John Fox, but I digress. Go back to my original point. How much falls on John Fox's shoulders? Because the number of injuries, suspensions, and last year was just an overall lack of talent. Now, the talent level's improved this year, but they still have a long way to go in terms of being a playoff-caliber team from an all-around talent perspective. So how much is John Fox's fault?
I can't say a lot because he's had to deal with a lot. The biggest issue in my book, though, with John Fox is that the locker room hasn't been positive and it hasn't been good. People have been turning their backs on each other. People have been complaining. People have been yelling about how poorly the team is playing, and just nothing has changed. I don't know if it's Fox trying to be a player's coach and let them sort it out or what the deal is. He has not had a lot to work with. I'll give him that. I think Jay Cutler is a good quarterback, and I think that he has the ability to win games and even lead a team to the playoffs. However, he has to have an offensive line. He has to have a healthy receiving core.
He has to be healthy himself.
He has to be healthy himself. He has to be kept upright. And he has running backs this year, and we've seen...
Well, he's always had running backs.
That's true. Matt Forte, one of the best running backs
Shout out to Matt
we've
Forte.
Ever seen. I missed that.
I now. Feel really bad for you, Matt, on those Jets.
Yeah. But at least he's not on the Bears.
Yeah, he wishes he was on the Bears.
So, I can't put a lot of the blame on John Fox. I put a lot of the blame on Ryan Pace.
I don't think Pace has helped Fox one bit.
No.
With and his drafting,
the
with his
drafting
moves.
Of Kevin White is arguably one of the worst picks I've ever seen.
It's turning out to be one of the worst Bears picks in,
and that's saying
in organization history.
Worse,
and that is saying
worse than Sed Benson?
That's exactly what I was just
well,
picturing.
Cedric Benson was good. A bad
and,
pick.
Until the drunk boating act. Yeah.
Jason Williams, was that his name? I can't even... Chris Williams.
Chris
the,
Williams.
The left tackle from Vanderbilt.
And what about Gabe
Awful.
Karimi?
Gabe Karimi.
Short-lived.
Shane
it sounds like,
Shane
it sounds like an Italian dish.
Shea McClellan. There are a lot of bad Bears draft picks, especially in the first round. Mm-hmm. And then there's some decent ones like Greg Olsen, and of course we traded him. But you can't draft a guy knowing he's injured and then, you know, play footsie with the media and then all of a sudden say, oh, he's out for the year. And then, oh, his second year, he's out in week six for the year again. And expect to get good reviews.
Those were some Sixers moves by Pace.
Huge.
It's hard to trust Pace's process. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep. All right, that's fair.
And these are three of the highest draft picks the Bears have ever had. And they're being used like this. So you've got to wonder, if they have someone else in there, are they making a better decision? I don't know. But I think it's hard to put faith and confidence in Ryan Pace. I think John Fox has gotten a really raw deal. And is a good coach. I don't know what to say. I have to look at the roster next year when he enters training camp, but I have to assume they'll be a little bit better.
That's the positive glass half full, Brian, that we like to see.
Yeah. And I guess real quick, we'll just throw it around. What were thoughts on the NFL playing in Mexico City, and should they do it again?
You know, I liked it.
Sure, why the hell not?
I watched some of the game last night. I actually missed the laser pointer situation, unfortunately. But overall, neither team looked that great until the fourth quarter. It looked like Oakland was a little sleepy, maybe didn't quite, you know, maybe they had a little bit too much fun out in Mexico City the night before because their offense didn't wake up until the very end. And unfortunately, they scored, costing my Texans defensive fantasy points, bringing me below my opponents. So I actually lost, and my fantasy season's done. I'm out of contention for the playoffs. So, but the game in Mexico City was fun. It was good. I think yeah, people were excited.
People forget that. John was actually there. John he had a great there. Time.
Yeah, so I guess the consensus is as long as your team's not playing, it's kind of fun to watch teams play in completely different countries. But if the Bears were playing in London or if the Bears were playing in Mexico City, I would probably be pretty annoyed because, it's a primetime game and or a really early game on Sunday, and that's just not fun for any fan to watch their team just get destroyed because the Bears suck.
Does Mexico give one shit about the NFL?
Yes. No clue. But certain teams. So it's the Raiders, the Steelers, the Cowboys, a little bit the Texans, and that's because...
How do you know this?
I've actually been doing a decent amount of research on the NFL and its relationship with Mexico. Well, you know,
he's looking to open a franchise down there.
You know, we're looking for a good time.
All right, if you're an NFL owner, real quick, would you open a franchise in Mexico City or London?
Oh, gosh. I think you get screwed over with a franchise in London because when you play away games, your team is suffering.
Your schedule has to be so strange for a London team.
Mexico, at least you're on the same schedule. Yeah, you're on the same time.
100% taking the team in London. 100%. Because
why?
My hope is by the time that a team moves there, they'll have brought back the Concord plane where you can fly in 2 hours from London to New York or whatever. Not only that, it's just a much better situation than being in Mexico City.
It's a better
City.
Opportunity for growth to start it in London because you can expand further into Europe, whereas in Mexico, you're just kind of stuck there.
I understand that, but from a player's perspective...
No.
You'd much rather be in London.
This is an owner's league. This is not a player's league.
All I'm saying is the team would not play as well, at least initially, because all your away games in the States are dealing with jet lag. That's a huge issue.
I mean, they can easily overcome
look at how
that
poor,
by like
look
traveling.
At how poorly the teams play when they play on Thursdays in London.
They play on Sundays.
On Sundays, John.
No, there have been Thursday games. Go look it up.
In London?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
No fact checking here. Shout out
uppercase J journalist, there have been Thursday's London games.
I think we just need to...
Fact.
They just need to be grittier and just deal with the jet lag.
Yeah, agreed wholeheartedly.
Yep.
Grit wins games in the NFL and the World Cup of Hockey.
And you know what?
Soccer. That's what the U.S. has been doing.
No, but...
And they've done pretty damn well.
And at the same time, you can just fix your schedule to make it jet lag always only a factor in like 3 weeks. Come over to the United States for 4 weeks, fly back, play four straight home games, fly back, do four in a row. It's that easy.
All these just guys are going to live in the U.S., regardless of whether their team is in London or not. So I don't see it being that big an issue. We'll move on.
Guess that's not your cup of tea, John.
Oh, slam dunk.
Right. Hey, you've been hanging out with me for too long. All right,
that was great.
Puns are...
All right.
We'll move. Top five. This is top five holiday conversations with Thanksgiving coming up this week. Pete, it was your idea. Let's have you open it up.
So I went Thanksgiving specifically since it is tomorrow. Wonderful holiday, might I add.
One of my favorites. We did our top five holidays too.
Yeah, we did.
Check it out.
I actually didn't include it on my top or my bottom five.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
No, I'm saying I'm agreeing with you.
Oh,
that was a poor wording by
no
me.
Fact
go ahead.
Checking.
Go ahead.
Number five coming in, the why don't you have a girlfriend yet conversations coming from multiple aunts and grandparents.
Love it.
Pete, have they stopped asking you yet? Do they just understand now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think. I don't want to talk about it, John. You asking is not better than my aunt asking. Number four, from relatives you see like maybe once a year, where are you at school again? I'm not in school anymore, sir. I don't know your name, but I recognize your face, and my parents say I should talk to you. Especially this year, I'm really looking forward to this. Politics.
Yep.
So the first time that the word Trump is mentioned, I'm hauling ass out of that conversation.
Oh, I think that's where you sit down and you secretly turn on, you know, the recorder and your phone and just see the fireworks.
There's going to be three different generations of people in their viewpoints here, so it should be interesting. Then I got number two, football talk with your relatives who really only watch football Thanksgiving.
That's a safe haven.
And it's kind of like when you're watching with like older relatives, you kind of have to be on your toes because they're going to say something. Oh, was that Jackson? And you know it's not the right name, but you kind of have to
play along.
Oh, that's who it is. Okay.
You got to know your rosters in and out.
Yeah, you got to study your roster and recognize the similar names to each player.
Yes.
And number one, borderline racist jokes coming from the old folks at the dinner
table. The older generations.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
It happens at every party.
That it's going to get a nervous laugh and everyone's going to move on.
Yep. Just pretend like you didn't hear it.
Yep.
John, let's hear your five.
All right. Well, I think I misread this topic when we were going over our planning for the show because I came up with the top five awkward holiday conversations.
Those are awkward.
I did the same.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
These are awkward. What are you talking about?
So at number five, I have random people's deaths. There's always like an old family friend or, you know, an old, you know, maybe aunt somewhere that passed away and, you know, someone feels the need to bring it up right as you're going for your second helping of mashed potatoes, and you suddenly lose a little bit of that appetite you've been looking forward to all year. Number four, any sort of discussion regarding, you know, do you have a job or unemployment talk? Yep. And that can definitely
Brian, thank God you got that out of the way before
I needed it so bad.
Brian, your timing could not have been
that was beautiful.
More opportune. Number three, opportunities that didn't go well, but people haven't been updated on. So, for example, if you have, like, an interview, right, the last time you saw someone, and it's been, 6 months.
That's a good one.
You know, something like, how's that state championship game? And then you're like, oh, we got killed 41-15, you know? Yeah. It's like, that always comes up. Two awkward family illnesses.
Ooh.
And they're always, if you come from a big enough family, they're seen
syphilis?
Yeah. Depending on which family you're in, sometimes. Yeah. No,
some families, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete, this one actually comes off of yours a little bit, but when are you and significant other getting married?
Well, yeah, you're in a totally different situation.
Yeah, you're in a whole different boat.
So that
you have been locked up.
And that can come up. So those are my top five. Brian, we've left you.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation. I never even thought about that.
Yes.
Your grandparents are gonna be asking about like kids in like 2 years.
Have fun with that.
Oh. Brian, let's move on to yours.
All right. Well, some of these have already been mentioned, and I was scrambling to try and think of any new ones.
The best 2 months.
But this is, I'll just go with what I got, and if I think of one off the top of my head, I'll throw it out there. Every year, I always tell my friends right before I leave, like, hey, guys, like, you know, happy Thanksgiving, but mentally prepare yourself because you're going to have to answer how is school 100 different times. Mm-hmm. Because every time someone sees you, they feel the need. Oh, how's school? As if you're not going to say it's great or it's fun or mm-hmm. it's fine.
That's true.
Also, now that we're working men, they're going to say, oh, how's work? How's your job?
It's great.
How do you like it? Just lovely. I get to sit in an office for 8 hours, 9 hours a day.
And you really got to toe the line between, you know, the work is work, like the casual, just like, you know, just the 9 to 5 and that I really enjoy my work because no one really wants to hear about that much.
Right. It's literally just to save face. Like,
yeah,
oh,
just,
yeah,
you know, they
want to
hear that
it.
You're happy, but they don't want to hear anything about it.
So
it's
they
like
ask
the check,
it.
You can check the question off their list, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's been asked.
You,
the definition of small talk.
Exactly.
You get, you have to give a cliche response so that it's vague enough where they can like interpret it whatever way they want,
mm-hmm.
but it's also not like, oh, I hate it.
Yep.
Or it's so awesome. Let me talk to you about it for half an hour because no one wants to be with that guy. Number four is back on off the back of Pete's. Do you have a girlfriend yet? Is always the last word. Because
yeah. See, Pete doesn't seem to be getting the yets anymore.
I get the
yet. Oh, okay.
I get the
you know,
yet.
You think I'm lost hope? I'm beyond hope.
I don't know what your family thinks. Although perhaps I've lost hope for you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So asking about a girlfriend yet?
Not
is
saying
all,
shit. The rest of this podcast.
Just a morale killer. Absolute morale killer. Number three, I have asking how old you are.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most annoying thing. I was last Christmas, so I've been 22 at the time. I had an aunt think I was 20 years old and asked if I was excited to turn 21. So that's in December. My birthday's in October. Like, yeah, I'm definitely looking 10 months ahead to turning 21, even though I did it a year ago.
The conversations with those relatives that you see once a year are just the most difficult thing you're going to have to deal with.
It's frustrating too because if they even cared slightly, they'd know your age.
Well, the thing is with old people is that if they're not on Facebook,
okay, so I don't have,
they're getting their news.
I don't have that old of relatives, though. Like, all the older relatives are dead, RIP in peace. But, you know, there's no... none of that going on.
But there's the older people who aren't on Facebook as opposed to the old people who are and are on Facebook way too much.
Sources close to my situation can confirm that these people are on Facebook.
Yes. I lost my train of thought here. But you're breaking news to them over the past year. You have to tell them everything that's happened.
I mean, we're breaking news all the time here, let me be frank.
That's true.
That's besides the point. So this one happens to me a lot. Might not be the same for you guys, but I get a lot of comments and questions about my appearance and my weight quite frequently.
Telling you to gain weight?
Yes. Or like, oh, you look thin. Or, oh, you look like you finally put on some weight. Like, finally? As if I have been trying to be a twig my whole life. Like, I've been trying to do it. So that's always fun or frustrating, you know, depending on which end of the day you're in.
But you also get, on the other side, you also get the conversations where all your aunts are like, aren't you so handsome?
Yes, that is
the flip side.
I haven't been told I've been good looking by a woman in God knows how long.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
So the last one, I couldn't really come up with anything better, but just the Bears, because I have family from Wisconsin and I have family from Illinois. So no matter what, the Bears are going to come up and it's either going to be people talking shit or it's going to be people... just miserable talking about the Bears. And being the guy who studied sports in college, I'm always the one they come to talk about it.
Being the co-founder of a successful sports blog.
That too. Gotta add that to the resume.
You have the credit.
Uh-huh. But do you think... I dread talking about the Bears in general. Even when they're good, I dread talking about them.
I'm hoping the blog comes up by the older relatives.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Our target demographic is old women, 55 to 70 years old.
That is correct.
Very social media active.
Yes.
Yes. So, embrace debate. Let us know what your five worst holiday conversations are. We'd love to hear them because there are just some awful, awful, awful things that people talk about.
And that's why you have alcohol.
Yes. And here's to beer. We will move on.
Sponsored by Miller Lite.
Yeah. Let's do Guess the Player. John is back, so he will read us his Guess the Player.
I am very excited for this one. It's also on a Thanksgiving theme. And for you NFL fans out there, you'll be looking forward to a full slate of NFL matchups this Thanksgiving. So our Guess the Player goes back to Thanksgiving 1998, when this famous running back...
I remember it fondly.
I was pretty drunk that year.
This famous running back committed one of the most infamous mistakes in Thanksgiving Day history. So during the overtime coin flip, he called both heads and tails. So the referee just awarded the ball to the Detroit Lions, who then proceeded to kick a game-winning field goal on the first possession of OT. And
wait, to the who? What was the other team?
So the Detroit Lions then received the ball because the referee was so confused. And it's a blatant violation of, you know, protocol to call both heads and tails.
I mean, that's
a power move.
Spin zone.
So
he's trying to win.
Yeah.
That's just a winner right there.
He's just in it to win it. So that's the first fact. Second fact, he's sixth overall in rushing in NFL history. So the guy can ball. Third fact, during his career, he played for the Rams during their previous stay in L.A. Who is the player of the week?
Is it Bo Jackson?
It is not Bo Jackson.
I was going to say Edgerrin James, but... That's
another good guess, but
it's not Barry Sanders because the Lions were the opposition.
Correct. It's not Barry Sanders.
Terrell Davis?
No. Another good guess. You guys are very knowledgeable on your 90s running backs.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, I lived it, John. The 90s were a wild time for Pete and I.
OJ?
Not OJ.
No, that's way too late.
That Bronco came up a little before that.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's quality radio.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're in the cave?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think you guys are going to be disappointed. Jerome Bettis.
Damn it.
The Steelers played the Lions in 98. He called both heads and tails because at that point you used to call the coin flip in the air. But after this incident, the NFL changed the rule that you have to now call it before the coin is flipped.
Huh.
So
the Bettis rule.
Jerome Bettis is responsible for standard coin flipping protocol nowadays.
Did he go to Notre Dame?
He did. He is a Notre Dame alum, and we promised we would not talk about Notre Dame on today's episode.
You brought it up, John.
Because it has
if
been
if you go back through the tape, so you depressing. Can hear you bringing it up.
It has just been a depressing football season with even worse news today that our 2012 and 2013 wins have been vacated thanks to an academic scandal.
And Brian Kelly will still have a job next year.
You can't see me, but I'm beaming right now.
All
right,
tall let's move on to tweets. I will lead off because I want to.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Go ahead.
But I will go first. Brian Billick, former coach Brian Billick, at Coach Billick on
football
Twitter.
Football guy.
Big football guy. Tweeted, "Hey, Jarvis Landry, why don't you express appreciation to the five guys that helped push you in rather than flexing towards the crowd?" That's like almost a respect the biz from Brian Billick, you know.
Respect your O-line.
Yeah, the O-line is not getting any love from him, from Jarvis Landry, yet he is the one flexing to the crowd because he happened upon the end zone. I love the move because...
I like it.
Brian Billick, I mean, he's been there.
Yeah, you gotta...
He knows what he's doing.
I think football guys, their arch enemies are like flashy skill players.
Yes,
and absolutely. And technology.
Yep, technology and like guys like Chad Ochocinco, because they stand for everything that they hate in football.
Yeah. Which is surprising that Odell Beckham is playing decently well under Ben McAdoo, who is a big football guy.
Benny with the good hair.
What a guy. All right, John, let's hear yours.
Well, it cannot be a return to the podcast if I didn't bring up my good friend Bill Walton.
He's in Maui right now.
Yeah, he is. Bill. He absolutely is, and that's where this tweet is from. Because I don't know if you've checked Bill Walton's Twitter lately, but it is full of golden nuggets, and I wish I could say the last 10 tweets he's had. But this one... "Will the people at Hawaiian Air in Honolulu please give me my bike back? I love my bike.
I
need my bike." And it's a picture of Bo Walton in full cyclist gear on a, you know, a very nice yellow bike with a dog and a lot of cacti in the background. So I'm assuming that Bill Walton on his trip to Maui his bike has just disappeared.
Well, there was an update to that. He did get his bike back.
He has gotten his bike back.
He got it back. Thank God. There's a happy end to that story.
Because I was considering starting a hashtag, get Bill's bike, because I felt bad for my friend Bill Walton.
I think Bill Walton is one of the most electric announcers. Him and Gus Johnson together would be wild.
It'd just be Gus Johnson screaming, and then Bill Walton, one of his just completely out there... theory is just
the lights, the colors.
Did you see the whole tournament thus far? He's worn sunglasses indoors.
Yes, he absolutely has.
And he's definitely just been tripping balls.
He went on a rant about Jay Billis calling him Jake. He didn't know his last name. He just called him Jake. He's like, "Who's the guy working after us, Jake?" He gets into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and I've never heard this guy speak for less than 2 minutes. And he goes up there, and he's down in 90 seconds. "What are you doing, Jake? Talk about it. Talk about the game you love and you talk about every day and you broadcast for." Like, wow, Bill.
And
his co-host had no idea who he was talking about. He's like, "Oh, you mean Jay Billis?" He's like, "Oh, what did I say?" Classic old guy move.
Yeah, and that's going to happen a lot at Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
I'll tell you that much. All right, so my tweets, it's not a tweet. It's more of a Twitter conspiracy.
Uh-oh.
It's so this comes from NBA Reddit. I spotted this. One of the users noticed that Kawhi Leonard, he follows 6 accounts on Twitter. Jordan Brand, which he is sponsored by.
Yep.
HEB Meat, which he's also sponsored by. The entire team is sponsored by. Okay. They make quality commercials.
They have the meats.
Different thing, John.
Much different.
Don't be applying the wrong slogan. Wingstop of San Antonio, which, of course.
Of course.
Wingstop is better than B-dubs. And
facts.
Just had B-dubs today, actually. Continue.
And he follows Impact Sports, which he's also sponsored by. And sixth and finally, Jamal Crawford. And so the user
he's
was
a Jamal
like,
fan. Who's not though?
The Redditor was like, "Why the hell is he following Jamal Crawford of all people on Twitter?" And so it got so big that Jamal actually responded.
Wow.
On Twitter, and he tweeted, "Y'all gonna have to ask him, but I've supported him before everyone else caught on."
Damn.
So Jamal's a day one Kawhi guy?
Yeah.
Where did Jamal Crawford go to college?
He's a Bulls draft pick.
He was.
Out of...
I couldn't tell you.
All right. I don't know, but
we'll move on.
I want to say the SEC school.
All right, stats.
Yes, let's go to stats. John, I'm going to start with you. What do you have this week?
All right, so I'm still caught up on the Thanksgiving football train. But I've been doing a little research on Thanksgiving Day football, and I found that there are going back to the early days of football.
Update, he went to Michigan.
Hell yeah.
When Squanto first brought the Golden Scrolls of football to the Pilgrims.
To Hudson River Valley, yeah.
There have been... I'm gonna make you guys guess this, actually. So every year, obviously, the Cowboys and the Lions play on Thanksgiving Day. But going back, how many different Chicago pro football franchises have played on Thanksgiving Day? Take a quick guess.
Three. I'm going to say two.
Five. Five Chicago football franchises.
The Staleys.
I'm surprised you got
the Staleys, the Cardinals, the Bears.
The Bears. The...
Chicago Tigers.
Tigers, yeah, that's another one.
And we get the last one. The Chicago Boosters.
The Boosters, I forgot.
Who beat the Hammond Pros 27-0.
So their thing was just doing steroids?
Way back in the day. They were the trendsetters.
Primo.
That sounds like an NFL Blitz franchise.
Yeah.
So there have been five Chicago sports franchises to play football on Thanksgiving Day.
I love it.
Fun fact. Very fun fact, John. Very topical.
Fun as that kazoo kid.
Go ahead.
All right, so my... Through his first 10 games of his career, Joel Embiid has made 11 threes. That is more than Steph Curry made through the first 10 games of his career. He made nine.
Wow.
The guy who dropped 26 in 20 minutes and then went out to the club that night
wearing his own jersey,
which is awesome.
Love it. And he's all over Instagram, too.
Oh, did you see it was all Parsons. Over the place? Yeah, Parsons.
And Parsons,
check your DMs. Yeah. He's like, bro, you have to smash.
Yep.
Which is incredible, and I have one. Actually, I have two more. Go ahead.
All right, I'll read mine. I just have one, and it is from another great football guy, Mr. 500, Jeff Fisher. He ties Hall of Fame coach Tom Landry for second most losses in NFL history with 162. He has maintained a job for so long, and he is making so much more money than the three of us will. And he is mediocre at best. He has the nickname 500 Fisher, and it's not really even a joke anymore. It's what he does. I would love to be him.
I mean, like, Brett Favre has the most touchdowns and the most interceptions, so you gotta spend money to make money.
Spend money to make money, throw picks to make touchdowns, and lose games to win them.
Yeah, he just thinks it's like just back. You just gotta keep it equilibrium.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, water always finds its level.
Yeah, water seeks its level.
Yin and
all right, let's hear your other two.
All right, my second one is that this is a little bit of sabermetrics here. This is actually a lot of sabermetrics.
All right, let's hear it.
James Harden and DeMar DeRozan are currently exemplifying Simpson's paradox because James Harden has both a better 2-point field goal percentage and a 3-point field goal percentage, but DeMar DeRozan has a better field goal percentage overall. Can you tell me why, Brian?
Because math.
You're not wrong, Brian.
Adding on to that answer, correct, in part.
Math for 500?
It's got to be the shot selection.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan's weight of two-pointers is so much greater than what he takes at three-pointers that he's really bad at that it puts the percentages in his favor.
Okay. That's a absolute mindfuck.
Brian's eyes just went cross-eyed.
Yep, yep.
And the last one, the Tom Thibodeau's Timberwolves are currently number one in offensive net rating in the first half this season, dead last second half this season.
They're a first-half team. You don't hear it often, but they're Start a first-half team. They come off the bus running.
And then Tibbs plays them the entire half, and they're gassed by the second half.
They're just going to have to get used to those minutes.
All right, and as we always finish it up, John, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
Honestly, we spent a lot of time talking about it. I'm looking forward to the potential for a state championship matchup for your Fennec Friars. And I have no idea if it's going to happen or not, but I guarantee that if it does, you will see all of us there early down in Champaign, Saturday morning tailgating.
For this and look for another live blog if they're there.
Yeah,
you better believe it. Stop by our tailgate. We'll let you know where we're at. Let me be frank. Official tailgate for the potential Fennec Friars state championship run.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Same thing as John, and if added on to that, just some good old before winter football. I haven't played pickup football in a very long time, and I've never been good at it. So we'll see how I do.
Got to stretch the hammies.
Yeah, don't want to hurt anything.
I'm gonna hurt something. I can guarantee that.
It's gonna be the opposition here.
Obviously, I have the Friars down. I have Thanksgiving, spending time with family. We always do. We always make gingerbread houses on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which is a heap of fun because my aunt buys like $8,000 worth of candy, so it's just a free-for-all. It's also a little bittersweet because it's my last weekend in Chicago for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be moving to Brooklyn, New York next week.
We're moving the office to Brooklyn.
For better or worse, it's going to happen. So, yeah, that's... I'm looking forward to a nice weekend here.
Watch out, page views.
Yeah, page views, I'm coming for you. As always, you can find our content on the blog, letmebefrankblog.com, on Twitter, at letmebefrankblog, and Facebook. Please be sure to share, like, subscribe, and let us know what you think. Have an awesome Thanksgiving. You guys are the best, and look out for any and all new content regarding the Fenwick situation and sports around the world. We love you guys. Have a great weekend.
Love you.
Took my love, took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in snow-covered hills till the last.